Mr. Comey said that there were matters with respect to the recusal that were problematic and he couldn't talk about them. What are they?
That, why don't you tell me? There are none, Senator Wyden. There are none. I can tell you that for absolute certainty.
The fire started at around 1 a.m. UK time at Grenfell Tower in North Kensington and was attended by 200 firefighters. The city's fire commissioner says there have been a number of fatalities in the huge blaze. The ambulance service has also said that more than 50 people have now been taken to hospital.
Last week, the House voted to repeal and to alter the 2010 Dodd-Frank reform law, but it seems that it's stuck in the Senate. So what is your message to investors, to Main Street, to Wall Street, about community bankers, about when this actually is going to get done?
Well, there are two things. One is what's going to happen in the Department of Treasury. I think that's going to happen in weeks. We're going to
really?
See, yeah, we're going to see something coming out of the administration in the next few weeks mm-hmm. about some relief coming from the Secretary of Treasury and the administration. With regard to the Senate, I agree totally. We need to address that here. There are some parts that need to be in there, but basically, the problem I have is the overreaching punitive nature of some of the regulations in Dodd-Frank itself and how that's shutting down capital formation.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's June 14th, 2017. Glad to have you here for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots to cover this morning. This is the Federal Reserve Interest Rate Day. The Federal Open Market Committee will announce their decision at 1 o'clock Chicago time today. An interest rate is on the way. We've got lots to cover, too, in this show. Later in the program, we're going to bring in Dale Buss. We're going to talk a little bit about Mary Barra, the GM CEO. Is it possible that maybe she's headed somewhere else, or maybe she's going to have a much bigger role somewhere else? We'll talk to Dale Buss in Michigan about that coming up. But first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later, up about 23 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures seem flat. NASDAQ futures up just about 9 points. S&P futures up about a point. Crude oil is at $45.90 a barrel this morning. Asian stocks are lower following Wall Street's tech-driven rise as investors wait for word from the Federal Reserve today. The Shanghai Composite lost about a half a percent. Tokyo's Nikkei also lower. Hong Kong lower as well. In Europe this morning, markets are generally higher with the FTSE up almost 26 points. The DAX up about 78 points. That's good for about a half a percent. The CAC is up almost a full percent, up 48 points this morning. Some news that we're following for you, probably since you went to bed last night. First, the manager of a possible site for a new FBI headquarters says a company that owns buildings with Donald Trump and is a partner of the Trump family and the Kushner family is a finalist to build the new headquarters, a $1.7 billion contract to build that new FBI Center. I think that's going to be in New York City. Also this morning, New York, California, nine other states are suing the Trump administration over failure to finalize energy use limits for portable air conditioners and other products. The state filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Energy yesterday in federal court in San Francisco. A judge won't throw out a lawsuit from a powerful liquor lobby that wants a piece of Nevada's new recreational marijuana industry. This is a big lawsuit that has national implications. A group of independent liquor wholesalers says the ballot measure that voters approved last November legalizing recreational marijuana makes it clear they're the only ones that can distribute that product for retail sales beginning July 1st. State lawmakers tried to persuade the judge yesterday to dismiss the lawsuit and allow existing medical marijuana dispensaries to serve as their own middlemen in recreational sales. Wilson refused. He left in place an order he issued back in May that blocks any licensing until he holds a day-long hearing next Monday. But this is a blueprint of a lawsuit that could happen in other cities as marijuana becomes legalized, at least from a small recreational use standpoint. Well, it's important to have school supplies. Every year we hear stories of kids who go to school without those, schools that can't afford them. We thought we would talk about a little bit this today. There's a contest going on. You could actually enter your favorite school or teacher's to win school supplies for every kid in that school. Matthew Kurtzman is CEO of Back to School Illinois. He's on with us this morning here on the Opening Bell. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It's good having you here. This is, I remember taking part in a drive a few years ago with a neighborhood school that had, not only did they not have school supplies, but they didn't even have toilet paper. So this is a big deal for schools, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was growing up, it was very different. Kids today are actually being required to bring more things. You said toilet paper. I've seen paper towels. I've seen them having to bring hand sanitizer, reams of paper for the teachers to use. It's really unfortunate.
Ellen Crittenden is also with us, also on the board of directors for Back to School. Ellen, good morning to you as well. Give us a sense of what this contest is about.
Good morning. So the way that I found out about this contest was when my friends had put it up on Facebook. I saw it, and I thought, if I enter this, my kids will be able to get it. It was absolutely amazing. So Matthew came the first day of school and gave out supplies to every single one of my kids. What that meant is that my kids were prepared to learn. They came to school. They didn't have to worry about where was their pen, where was their pencil, and would they be able to write down the content. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. It is kind of sad, and this is to either one of you, but it's kind of sad that we're at this point, isn't it, that we have to have contests for school supplies. It seems the very basic things for education.
I always tell people that we shouldn't have to be in business, that I should be out of a job. And yes, you're exactly right. There's over 1.2 million kids in Illinois that live in low-income households. These are kids, obviously, whose families struggle on a day-to-day basis and have to make decisions, purchasing decisions every day. You know, do we pay the mortgage? Do we buy them clothes? And school supplies is one of those things that unfortunately is on that list of things that sometimes gets set aside. And what happens is you find the kids in the classroom when they go into school the first day and how they feel when they see other kids that have things and they don't. And does this really set a child up for learning? Of course not.
Yeah, and it also, you have to wonder about the impact on their person as well, and their mental aspect of that. Ellen, to you, the other part of this is the school supplies have become very expensive in a lot of cases, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And like Matthew was saying, or perhaps you were saying, is that the children are required to bring more and more and more because teachers can't provide the things that we used to provide. And so it makes a huge difference to be able to have these things in the classroom.
Well, Matthew, Ellen, hang on with us. We're going to take a break, and we'll continue our conversation right after the break here at 5:18. Matthew Kurtzman is the CEO of Back to School Illinois. Ellen Crittenden is on the board of directors at Back to School.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. stocks bounced back to record highs yesterday as investors put an end to a two-day drop for technology companies. The Dow Jones closed 93 points higher at 21,328. The Standard & Poor's 500 index added 11 points, and the Nasdaq picked up 45 to close at 62.20. The Federal Reserve ends a two-day policy meeting today, and investors anticipate the third interest rate hike since December. Wall Street will watch for the Fed's take on inflation and hints about how aggressive it'll be in raising interest rates for the rest of this year. Uber chief Travis Kalanick is taking a leave of absence, saying he needs time to mourn the death of his mother and to become a better leader. His decision comes after an independent audit suggested the rideshare company needs major changes. And McDonald's will use social media to find the 250,000 workers it'll need this summer. Snapchat users can watch a 10-second video promoting the benefits of working for the fast food giant, then follow a link to a job application. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Back to School Illinois is a Chicago-based nonprofit that provides thousands of deserving kids across the state with low income from low-income families with free school supplies. Getting ready to launch their latest contest to do that for low-income kids this fall. And Matthew Kurtzman is the CEO of Back to School Illinois. Ellen Crittenden is on the board of directors at Back to School Illinois. Both are with us this morning. Matthew, to you, give us a sense of how expensive this is for you. Can people, in addition to nominating schools, help you financially?
Of course, people can send us their money. People can go to our website, b2si.org. They can make a contribution. The kits are $15. So all of our school supplies are put into these almost like mini cardboard briefcases. Each one contains about 30 of the basic or core supplies that the kids need to start the school year. So they can make a donation to us online. They can also, currency exchanges throughout Illinois also collect money for us all summer long. So people can go in and drop their spare change at any currency exchange location. Republic Banks is also collecting money for us this summer. So those are a couple of ways that that people can contribute to what we're doing.
And so last year, 890,000 school supplies. Last year alone, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yes, we actually gave out just shy of 30,000 of our back-to-school kits. This year we're hoping to do closer to 35 or 40,000. I should point out the contest, the applications need to be postmarked by July 24th, and anybody can nominate this particular contest is only open to Chicago schools, but anybody can nominate a school. They can nominate a school more than once.
And Ellen, that's kind of cool too, because anybody can be nominated, right? It could be a teacher or anybody at that school, or is it the school, just the school?
It's for the school, and that's the reason that I entered it. I'm at a school that's down in 54th and State, and a lot of our kids come, and they're not prepared through no fault of their own. And so when I saw this contest, I thought this could make a huge difference. At first, I didn't believe it because it said win school supplies for every student. And when I looked at the contents of the kit, I thought there's no way that they're going to give this to every single kid. But they did, and it was absolutely amazing.
Again, the postmark by July 24th. For the 27 contest. Ellen, while we have you on, we'd be remiss to talk to you about summer vacation, because we've been talking about the start of school obviously coming up, but how important is it for kids to remain engaged over the summer as well?
It's essential, and I actually, if I may, I have some suggestions of what parents or guardians can do with their children over the summer.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I am a language teacher. What parents can do if they have internet access is there's a wonderful site that's called Duolingo. It's Duolingo. It's a fun and interactive way to get their students to learn a language. There's also a wonderful site that's called NewsELA. And what that does is takes current events and it makes it accessible to students at their own reading level. So if they're at a higher level, it will give them a richer vocabulary. And if it's at a lower level, it will still give them the same information. I would suggest trips to museums and have the children do journal entries after it, talk about what they learned during the school year, and just review. Honestly, here's the best way that parents and guardians can learn. Go on Pinterest. Every single thing that you need is on there for how to enrich your summer, and anything that you're doing with your children is going to promote learning.
And it's called the Win School Supplies for Every Student in a School contest. And Matthew Kurtzman is the CEO of Back to School Illinois. Ellen Crittenden is a board of directors at their Back to School Illinois. We're going to link out all the information of this, and we thank you both for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Great to be with you. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Have a good summer.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Trying to get in shape for summer? There are apps for that. As temperatures rise and the jackets come off, some of us start to feel a little more body conscious. ABC News tech contributor Becky Worley says an app called FitMatch could help you kick your fitness goals into gear.
It's like Tinder for going to the gym or a new class. It pairs you with somebody else who wants to try maybe a spinning class or a bar class or even just go for a run. It is proven that the buddy system helps people stick to your workout schedules.
Another app called Charity Miles uses altruism as a motivation.
Every mile you run or walk raises money from corporate sponsors. Charities like Autism Speaks, the ALS Association, they get the donations.
And finally, one called PACT penalizes you for being lazy.
Pay into it every month. You commit to a workout schedule. If you don't meet your goals, you lose the money you paid in.
With Tech Trends, I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:40 here on our Wednesday edition of the show. It's been 3 years since Mary Barra has taken over as CEO of General Motors. Dale Buss writes about this in Chief Executive Magazine. The latest article, Era of Berra, Four Lessons from the GM's Chief's Tenure So Far. Dale's with us this morning. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Steve.
So you were, we have to give you props because you called this a few years ago. You were one of the first to report on Mary taking over at GM. This is her three-year mark. How's she doing?
Well, she's doing really well. And yeah, in October 2013, I wrote in the Detroit News and on Forbes.com that everybody was telling me she was going to be the first woman to run a U.S. Auto company. Lo and behold, it happened within just a few months. Nobody was quite expecting that, but it was her. And the thing about Mary Berra after 3 years is, you know, when the huge event took place that a woman took the helm of a U.S. automaker, and it was her, there was a lot of talk about what were the implications of that. Some people said, well, she'll be a more collaborative leader. You know, the leadership of General Motors and the industry will change because she's a woman and women operate more collaboratively, that kind of thing. Well, what's really happened is that Mary Berra has become the most disciplined CEO that General Motors has had in quite some time. And that's probably the biggest reason for her success. And, you know, one thing after another, she's proven not only that as a woman she can run the world's or America's biggest automaker, but, you know, a lot of people are talking about her as one of the best GM CEOs ever already.
Yeah, in your latest article, again, in Chief Executive, you write, not only does she have the discipline, but she has the vision. When you talk about the discipline, what do you mean by that?
Well, several things. First of all, I mean, perhaps the biggest example is that for decades, General Motors CEOs took pride in the fact that the company was always among the world's largest automakers, if not the largest. So regularly, General Motors would be competing with Volkswagen and Toyota to be the world's biggest automaker, most sales every year, meaning that basically they had to be in every market. You know, South America, particularly Europe, sometimes were problematic for General Motors, but the CEOs would say, hey, this is what we do. We're competing for the title of world's largest automaker. So we stayed there. Well, Mary Berra said, no, you know what? We want to focus on profitability and making General Motors viable, not just viable, but thriving for the long term. So we're going to do some things that previous GM CEOs would not even think of. And one of those was basically withdrawing from Europe, which GM is in the process of doing since she decided last year to do that. They'll sell a few Cadillacs there, but pretty much GM's pulling out of Europe, unthinkable for a previous GM CEO. And another example is how she pulled the company through the ignition switch debacle, which occurred not on her watch, but right after she started. I mean, a huge potential to upset the company, a lot of financial damage, a lot of reputational damage, and she charged right into it, went and testified on Capitol Hill. Pulled the company through, again, a lot of discipline, looking not only at the short-term needs, but, you know, what kind of leadership does GM need for the long term? And she's been providing that.
Yeah, and then there's the vision part of this. It sort of folds nicely into the vision part of this. The iconic photo, at least the photo I think of recently, is how she's always out in front with the new products. And you've also written about how The Chevy Bolt is sort of out in front there with her. She's out in front with that. Talk about that vision part of this deal.
Well, the vision part is the auto industry is changing so quickly, and the era of self-driving is already upon us. Mobility services, you can call it whatever you wanted, ride sharing, car sharing, automated driving, all the things that are going to determine the future winners in the industry. And she has pushed GM to the forefront of this with investments in ride sharing, in car sharing, in self-driving, in hydrogen power. And one of the best examples of Mary Berra pushing the future forward is the Chevrolet Bolt. I mean, for years, people have been talking about how Elon Musk and Tesla were going to bring out the first mainstream priced long-range electric vehicle. Well, that's the Model 3, and that isn't even coming out until next year. In the meantime, Mary Berra pushed things so that actually General Motors would come out with the first mainstream-priced long-range electric vehicle, and that's the Chevrolet Bolt, and it's in dealerships now. And one of the main reasons that people in the industry say it is because she pushed it forward. She understands what it's going to take there is a balance between taking advantage of the huge demand right now for the trucks and SUVs that GM makes and investing in that future where, you know, the analysts are saying GM has as good a chance as any automaker of thriving in that future, which still is so far from being defined.
How much do you think her success at General Motors has impacted Ford, which recently replaced its CEO?
Well, exactly. The contrast has been jarring. Now, the stockholders will say, well, GM's stock price hasn't really increased in the last 6 years, much less in the last 3 years under Mary Barra, and that's true. But if you contrast her with Mark Fields, who was Ford's CEO until very recently, Ford's stock price was as much as nearly 40% lower under him, under the 2 or 3 years of his tenure. Bill Ford Jr. Wouldn't have that. Neither would Ford shareholders. And so Mark Fields is gone. And a big reason besides the stock price is that Mark Fields reacted late to what was going on in the industry. I remember him being interviewed a couple of years ago. It was not longer than 2 years ago, where he said, you know, it's not really important for Ford to be a leader in self-driving technology. Just when we get there, we want to be affordable. Well, that's the kind of attitude that got him in trouble. You know, lack of vision, and the great contrast with Mary Barra is she's still running GM and being celebrated for doing it, and Mark Fields is, you know, looking at his pension.
The future for Mary at GM, is it one that's going to be a long one, do you think, or what do you think the future holds for her?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think so. She's only 55 years old, even at this point. And there are a lot of challenges. You know, the U.S. sales have leveled off. The credit picture among American car buyers is getting worse as the recovery has kind of aged. And there's a lot of incentives out there now that weren't even there a year ago. General Motors has too many cars still, that kind of thing. But she has scaled the mountain already. You know, she's kind of on the other side. She's dealing with these challenges, but she has pretty much proven to everybody that needs proof that, you know, she's savvy. She's got, as you said, discipline and vision. And there's no reason to think she won't be running General Motors for several more years.
Dale's latest article is The Era of Barra, Four Lessons from the GM Chief's Tenure So Far. You can read it at chiefexecutive.net. We'll link it out to you as well. Dale, thanks for being with us this morning.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Dale Buss, a contributor at Forbes, Chief Executive Magazine, focusing on business, politics, culture, and more. You can follow him on Twitter at Dale D. Buss.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow Futures looking for a positive open later. On Wall Street, up 24 points now. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher as well. Gold is trading up about a quarter. Silver is up almost 1%. Crude oil at $45.97 a barrel. And back to our GM conversation, GM shares this morning at $34.51, down just about 0.5%. The latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be back in the Midwest, looking at the green that was white when we left it in February. And what a day in the market yesterday, and again, weather a factor. Spring wheat futures jumped 4.6%. Their highest level in 2.5 years, pulling soft red winter wheat and hard red winter contracts higher, growing worries about crop health in the dry plain states. The Minneapolis July spring wheat futures ended up 27.5 cents at 6.28 a bushel, and Chicago Board of Trade July soft red winter wheat futures closed up 11 cents at 4.45 a bushel. Weather concerns also brought buying into the corn and soybean futures, with the July corn futures up 3.75 on the close at 381 a bushel. July soybeans gained 1.25 cents to close at 932.5 a bushel. But they were well above that during the trading session yesterday. Turning to livestock, hog market rebounded as U.S. wholesale pork prices hit a two-year high. And so the July hog futures gained $1.57 a hundredweight. The June contract will expire today. It hit a life of contract high of $82.85. So cattle prices also moved a little bit higher in the market yesterday. The FFA state conventions in Springfield for Illinois and in Madison for the Wisconsin FFA continuing today. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, June 14th, Commerce Department releases retail sales data for May. The Labor Department has the Consumer Price Index for May. Commerce Department's also out with business inventories for April. The Federal Reserve policymakers meet to set interest rates. A statement on the monetary policy and economic forecast is at 1 o'clock Chicago time. The chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, will have a news conference immediately following. That's scheduled for about 1:30 Chicago time. Also today, Zara store owner Inditex presents earnings results for the first quarter of the financial year.